The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
On this episode of Grace in Focus, we continue our discussion started yesterday on provisionism. Today, we're going to look at the different articles of belief that provisionism holds to. We will see some similarities to free grace, and some to Calvinism, and some to Arminianism. I hope you'll stay tuned. This is Grace in Focus, and it is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Find out more about us, give us your feedback, and have a look at our resources and conferences at faithalone.org. We now continue our two-part discussion on provisionism. Here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
Our last episode, we talked about provisionism, which one of our listeners asked, is it free grace? And we talked a little bit about how it denies some of the Calvinistic points in favor of Arminianism, particularly unlimited atonement and free will, that the unbeliever has free will.
Or total depravity.
Sure. They deny that the unbeliever is unable to believe. Now we're going to discuss more concretely how it relates to free grace theology, especially when it comes to soteriology. What does a person have to do to be saved from the lake of fire?
Okay. So if you go to Soteriology 101, they have a statement saying, we affirm a statement of the traditional Southern Baptist understanding of God's plan of salvation. And there's a whole lot here. There's a preamble, and then there's 9 or 10 different articles. But their basic point is that what this provisionism is essentially the basic position on how a person is born again according to most Southern Baptists.
Well, now I have a question for you
yeah.
that maybe you can help me with. Does it say there if it comes from the Baptist faith and message?
No.
Okay, well, that's first thing. And then my second thing is, I wonder what someone like Al Mohler would think of this. You know, if he says, we agree with the Southern Baptist view of salvation, but we differ with Calvinism, and the flagship seminary is basically Calvinist. So,
well, I think I can tell you, one year I went to the Ligonier Conference, and Dr. Al Mohler was in the aisle talking to someone, and I happened to be standing there, and the person asked Dr. Mohler what he thought of four-point Calvinists, Amaraldians, and he said, do you think they are really Calvinists? And Dr. Mohler said, no, they're obviously not Calvinists, but I think in charity we would probably call them Calvinists, and I'm okay with that, but in reality, you either believe in all 5 points or you're not a Calvinist.
Right.
So Dr. Mohler's position is if you believe in 4 points of Calvinism and you reject limited atonement, you're not really a Calvinist. Well, these people are more like 2 to 3 point Calvinists.
Right.
I mean, they reject much of total depravity. They reject limited atonement entirely. They reject irresistible grace entirely. We'll talk more about their view on unconditional election in a minute. So, yeah, I think that what Dr. Mohler would say is these people do not represent Southern Baptists. But what they say in the lead-up to their articles of the things they affirm is that
they are Southern Baptists.
They are Southern Baptists, and that the vast majority of Southern Baptists are 2, 3, 4-point Calvinists.
Hmm.
They might be modified Calvinists.
They claim to be.
Right.
Right.
So they say it's a rare Southern Baptist that's a 5-point Calvinist. Now, I'm sure Dr. Mohler would disagree.
Right. Yeah. That's
right?
Leighton Flowers is basically saying then that Southern Seminary and Al Mohler are not in line with the majority of
They're
Southern
They're out
Baptists.
Of step.
Right.
Well, I can tell you this. We used to have our annual conference at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, which is a huge seminary, like 3,500, 4,000 students. And from everything I've heard, Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary is not 5-point Calvinist, and they advertise it that way, and they make it very clear that they disagree with 5-point Calvinism.
Hmm.
And I think that's true of every Southern Baptist seminary, like Southeastern, for example, except for Southern.
Southern, right.
Yeah. Okay, now here's some of their articles. They say, we affirm that the gospel is the good news that God has made a way of salvation through the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for any person. This is in keeping with God's desire for every person to be saved. I would say most Calvinists would be okay with that, although they might wonder where they're going. This next sentence, not so much. We deny that only a select few are capable of responding to the gospel while the rest are predestined to an eternity in hell. Now that, a lot of Calvinists would disagree. Now, some Calvinists are double predestinarian. He predestined some to the kingdom, and he predestined some to hell. Most Calvinists are not double predestinarian, so they wouldn't say God predestined some to an eternity in hell. So they would find this statement misrepresenting five-point Calvinism.
But I've never understood that. If you're predestined to eternal life, or if you're not predestined, then what are you predestined for?
Exactly. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Okay, and their second point is on the sinfulness of man, and they basically say, we are sinful, but that doesn't mean we're incapable of responding to God. So that's different than the Calvinist. In terms of the atonement, they affirm unlimited atonement. Their fourth article is on the grace of God, and they say, we affirm that grace is God's generous decision to provide salvation for any person through the Holy Spirit by faith.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes like faith alone for eternal salvation and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
Their fourth article is on the grace of God, and they say, we affirm that grace is God's generous decision to provide salvation for any person by taking all the initiative in providing atonement, in freely offering the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit, and in uniting the believer to Christ through the Holy Spirit by faith. Again, a Calvinist might agree with that, but then they say, we deny that grace negates the necessity of a free response of faith. Now, Calvinists would disagree with that. Or that it cannot be resisted. Calvinists would disagree with that. We deny that the response of faith is in any way a meritorious work that earns salvation. Calvinists would disagree with that. They think faith itself is meritorious. That's why it has to be a gift from God.
Right.
That's why regeneration had to precede faith. So far, we're not getting things that really disagree with free grace theology. Article 5 is the regeneration.
Right. Now we're getting into
now
it.
We're getting here. The regeneration of the sinner. We affirm that any person who responds to the gospel with what?
Repentance and faith.
Why not just faith?
Right.
With repentance and faith is born again through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is a new creation in Christ and enters at the moment he believes into eternal life. Well, all that's good except for the part about repentance
and
faith.
What does he mean by that?
Yeah, and they don't explain it.
They do not explain it.
And then they say, we deny that any person is regenerated prior to or apart from hearing and responding to the gospel. Now, that is rejecting regeneration preceding
faith. Prior faith, right.
Right. So we would agree with them there.
Right.
But the repentance and faith, at this point, is something that's inconsistent with free grace theology, unless you're going to define repentance as a change of mind about Christ. In other words, it's another name for faith, in which case, why do I need it in here at all? Why not just say, a person who responds to the gospel with faith is born again.
And you're going to see in Articles 6 and 9, that's not what they mean by repentance.
Right. Okay, so in 6, it's the election to salvation. And maybe you could talk about that, Ken.
It says, we affirm that in reference to salvation, election speaks of God's eternal, gracious, and certain plan in Christ to have a people who are his by, and here's a phrase again, repentance and faith. We deny that election means that from eternity, God predestined certain people for salvation and others for condemnation. So what they're saying here is election is God's eternal plan to anybody who repents and believes will be in the kingdom.
Now, let me say that there are a lot of focused free grace people who do believe in election, that God has elected anybody who will believe.
Right.
However, there are many other free grace people. We have a book by Sean Lazar called Chosen to Serve. And basically, it's the idea that election in the Bible is never to eternal destiny,
right.
ever.
Right. It's that, election to service or election right. as a group. Right.
So their view on election disagrees with some of us in Focus Free Grace, but would agree with some others in Focus Free Grace. For example, Zane Hodges seemed to believe that there was some sort of election to eternal life.
And Lewis Berry Chafer did too, right?
I think Lewis Berry Chafer did too.
But we can't understand it.
But they would both say it's kind of a mystery.
Once again, in this Article 6, they say it's for people who repent.
Right.
And believe.
And believe.
Yeah.
Not just believe. Now let's skip to 9. Would you read Article 9?
Article 9 is...
It's really the biggest problem.
Right. Article 9 deals with eternal security, which you read that and you go, oh, this is great. They believe in eternal security. We affirm that when a person responds in faith to the gospel...
Now they only say faith.
It's interesting.
Which is
it?
Inconsistent, right?
Right. God promises to complete the process of salvation in the believer into eternity.
Wait a minute. Did you know now that salvation is not instantaneous, but it's a process?
Yeah. Now, some people would read that, I think, and say, well, maybe they're talking about, that's when I'll get my glorified body.
Okay.
I have eternal life.
Read on.
Right. This process begins with justification, whereby the sinner is immediately acquitted of all sin and granted peace with God.
Good so far.
Right. And here it goes. Continues in sanctification, whereby the saved are progressively conformed to the image of Christ by the indwelling Holy Spirit. And then they deny that anyone who is spirit sealed can ever be broken. Therefore, they deny even the possibility of apostasy.
So the reason eternal security is true is because God guarantees that every believer will progress in holiness and every believer will persevere to the end of their lives in faith and good works.
And God's going to bring it to completion.
God guarantees that.
Philippians 1:6 is what they're
Calvinism.
Going to say.
Exactly. That is not free grace. And by the way, guess what happens to assurance of salvation if you abide by this Article 9?
Well, I mean,
there is no assurance.
Exactly. I mean, how do I know I'm not going to apostatize?
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
I don't know that. And so I don't have assurance.
In free grace theology, we do acknowledge failure is possible in the Christian
any
life.
Kind of failure,
moral or doctrinal.
Sure.
And so in answer to KM's question, which is a great question, I would say provisionism is a modified form of Calvinism or a modified form of Arminianism, either way you want to look at it. It has some things consistent with free grace theology, but overall, because of their understanding of perseverance and eternal security, I'd say it's not free grace.
Yeah, where the rubber meets the road, it's not free grace. Well, thank you for that question. And remember,
keep grace in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus, by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. On the next episode, will children be taken in the rapture? Please join us, and until then, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.